Guys, we're just privileged this morning to have another one of our ladies come and preach to us. Because what Liberty is about, this is not about one man show or a two man show. We're here to raise people. That's Stomp and Chomp going. Well done, girls, guys. It's great to have these young people in church, isn't it? It's wonderful. Go on, Stephen. It's just great to have them here. You know, we want to raise up people. And I want to present Louise. I knew this. And one night we were in our intercession room upstairs and we were praying and Louise started to shake. I think he started to cry, did he? Cry. And like, we're like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with Louise? And she, you know what she said? I just believe God's called me to preach. And unknown to Louise, during that week, myself and Sharon was talking, and I was putting the series together, and I says, I'm putting Louise down to preach. And this was a few weeks. She's getting a bit to be a bit of an old hand now. But it's nerve-wracking to get up in front of you. This woman's full of the fire of God. And you're going to be blessed today. Come on, Louise.
Well, good morning, Liberty. It's great to see us all in the house this morning. And thanks for letting me share God's word with you today. Just before I begin, a little boy came into my world last August. And his name is Nikita, and he's from Belarus. And this little boy, he has a speech impediment, and he was in a special class. And in the class, they asked him to, you know, be creative and draw something that meant to him. And, you know, the whole theme about what does God look like? Well, this little boy grew a picture. He drew a picture, and that picture was of me. And this picture came over last February, just gone. And I want to share this picture with you because it means so much to me about a little 8-year-old boy that drew something for me. Malachi, if you can just bring it up on the thing. Isn't that cool? I think he got the hair right anyway. Absolutely. And look at those lips. I'm definitely getting Botox now. I think I look pretty good. Just show the little boy, Malachi, please. And that's him. So guys, I just wanted to show you that because God brought that little boy into my world. And you know, this series that we have been doing over the last couple of weeks, what does God really look like? And I just want to share with you today what God has put on my heart. So over the journey, over the last few weeks, we have discovered that he is the knowable God, he is the exhaustible God, the invincible God, he is healer God, and he is all-sufficient God. And you know what? My prayer this morning is that God would become big to you today in this house, that he will continue to paint this picture of his character that will largely shape your views of yourself, of your life, of your purpose in this world, and of your relationship with him. So Father, I just want to commit this word into your hands, Lord God. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would release it into this house today. That, Father God, that there would be power that would come from this word today. That, Lord, that I would step aside, Father, and that your spirit will come and just breathe this word over your people, Lord. Make it large, Father God, today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. When the Apostle Paul spoke of God, he prayed for the church at Ephesus. And the Apostle paints a picture of what God really looks like. And this is what Paul says. It's in Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. You know, Paul was expressing a prayer that grows out of his awareness of all that God is doing in believers. Paul was telling the Ephesian church that God is so big, he is able to do way more than they could even imagine he could do. And the picture of God is, he is beyond calculation. He is immeasurable. He is vast. Our God is huge. And God is so infinite. And it allows us to come and to draw on his resources. And in this case, and in that scripture, it was his love. The key gifts in that passage are power and love. And the ultimate goal of our existence in the church today and in Christ is remarkable, because God has called the church to an extraordinary position of power. And guys, that's us there today. Our nation and the world, and it was spoken about here this morning, you know, the world has been facing uncertainty over the last couple of years. And many of us here today thought that we would probably never experience that. And through this uncertainty, it makes God the perfect place to turn to. You see, the Bible is full of stories of men and women like us that faced uncertainty. But in the midst of uncertainty, our God is certain. And when we place God as the primary focus in our lives, we can be certain of his power, of his love. We can be certain of his great influence in us as a people. And you know what? We get to know him better. I remember when I began to have the first date with that young man down here, which is Stephen. Come on, Steve-o, stand up and show everybody. Isn't he just massive? Well, I think he is. Well, you know what? When I met Stephen, when I was 16. And, you know, over the first two or three dates, you know, I didn't know everything about Stephen. But I'd say after the first day, he knew everything about me, because I'm a waffler. I probably had the ear bent off and with all my tales of woe. But, you know, you get to know somebody gradually over time. And you know that saying, Rome isn't built in a day. Well, you know what? That's like with God, our relationship with God. You will not get to know God in the first day, but it's a gradual process. As you keep going with the Lord and pressing in with the Lord, you will get to know him as you keep moving with him. And just like my relationship with Stephen, you know, I can say 20 years on, I bet you didn't know that, but 20 years on, I think I know this guy a little bit better than what I did know him on the first day. And you know, guys, it's the same with God. As you continue to grow in the Lord, as you continue to mature in the Lord, you will get to know that intimate, deeper presence of being with the Lord. Amen. When you take a look throughout the Old Testament, anyone who ever did anything great for God had to learn how to get to know him and become a servant to him. They had to make Yahweh God their master. Moses, Joseph, David, and even Abraham, they had to come to terms that they needed to get to know this big God. And Abraham, he had an intimate relationship with God. He used to call God by his Hebrew name, Adonai, which means God is the Lord of all. The scriptures declare that he is so big that he spreads out the northern skies over empty space. He spreads the earth over nothing. Not only does God suspend the earth over nothing, God tilted the earth at a 23-degree angle so that we can experience winter, spring, summer, and fall. He also spins the earth on an invisible axis at the speed of 1,000 miles an hour so that we can have night and day. This is the vastness of our God that we serve today. You know, Abraham knew God as his master and he knew him as his ruler. But yet Abraham, being human, he still couldn't comprehend how big God really was, how nothing ever escaped God or caught God by surprise. And if we take a look in Genesis 15:1, if you come with me there, and we will see how God caught Abraham by surprise. Amen. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you the land to take possession of it. You know, here we see for the first time that the Lord is making a covenant promise with Abraham. And what a covenant means is it's an agreement, an act to be followed through. And what I love about Abraham is him being human. He questions God. He questions God's proposition to him. But we also see another side of Abraham here. Abraham serves God with his lips. He does lip service. He says, O sovereign Lord. And that's in line two. O sovereign Lord. But in his heart, Abraham is full of doubt and he's full of fear. And he's full of unbelief. You know, because Abraham was an old man. And here's God telling him, I'm going to give you an heir from your own body. Your son is going to come from your own body. But Abraham questioned God and he doubted God. Three times the Lord spoke to him in that scripture. And three times he gave him affirmation and reward of God's vastness, of God's power. And you can just picture Abraham, you know, in his 80 years of age and with Sarah. And he's probably believing, you know, that himself and Sarah would go off into the sunset, cash in on the retirement package, you know, and just begin to enjoy the last few days or the last few years of their life together. But that wasn't the plan, because God came along and God says, you will have a son. You will have an heir from your own body. So life began to change for Abraham. But with Abraham, when he didn't understand something or when things began to come difficult, he took his eyes off God. He took his eyes off God. And he lost sight of how big God really is. And now he finds out that life is only starting. That life is only beginning for Abraham, for him and Sarah. Now they're going to have this child. They're going to have to rear this child. This was the promise of God to him. But God is forced to take Abraham through a process, and that process is of faith, to teach him that he is the Lord of all. And I love the part when he tells him, when he brings him out and he says to him, look up at the stars, Abraham, and count them. Count the stars if indeed you can count them. You know, there was probably 300 billion stars in the sky. And here's Abraham. You could probably got to 50 and he said, oh, here, I give up. You know, I once knew of a woman who became pregnant in her young life. And you know, this woman, there was a lot of difficulty in her life at the time, and her life was up and down, and home life was up and down. So this woman decides that she's going to go to England and she's going to have an abortion. But as she sets out, she's on the boat that night, and this voice comes to her as she's lying asleep. Well, she was lying awake. And the voice says to her, don't do it. So the woman dismisses the voice. And the next day, as she goes into the clinic, the voice comes back and the voice says, don't do it. So the woman didn't do it. And 20 years on, this woman has her child. Her child is doing well. But the child and the mother are serving the Lord. This is God's promise to us when we listen to the voice of the Lord. And you know, sometimes as Christians, our picture of God can become dim. It can become faded when we're faced with despair and discouragement of things going on. When we lift our eyes off our Savior, we become uncertain and we become doubtful of God's power. But the promises of God says, before you knew me as the man Jesus, you will know me by faith. You are going to get the eyes of faith. You are not going to cling to flesh and blood. But by faith, you will get me, all of me, and much more, because I am the Lord of all. Amen. You know, there was a young man, his name was Joey Everett. He was an 18-year-old worship leader. And he knew God as his Lord and Savior. But Joey learned that he had cancer just before Christmas. And he was admitted to hospital to undergo a 12-hour operation. The cancer had spread. He was told that the procedure would require multiple blood transfusions and an incision that would extend from his chest to his pelvis. And Joey was terrified. Before going to the hospital that morning, he opened up his Bible and he read, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? The picture that Joey had as he read the verse reminded him that God is big. But as he put it, he was still scared. A few hours later, he found himself lying on the hospital bed just a few minutes before going into surgery. And with tears rolling down his cheek, Joey prayed, God, I know you're big. Please be with me. And with that, Silent Night, the hymn Silent Night, began to play over the hospital loudspeaker. Joey said it was the most beautiful sound he had ever heard. Even though he had listened to the song hundreds and hundreds of times before. But this time, he felt that God played that track especially for him. And it was to remind him of just how big God really is. You see, God became small enough to be born in a manger. He became small enough to fit on a cross. And he became small enough to live in the heart of Joey. And the picture of God for us means, well, surrendering everything to his will, just the way Joey did. to be willing to trust and obey him in all things. And if God were to ask you this morning to complete this question, God is dot, 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 question mark. I'm sure a lot of you would say, God is my healer. God is my protector. God is all-knowing. God is my provider. And you know what? These are all the right answers. And they're all the right answers of God's character. But God is still way much more than we can ever grasp. As the Apostle Paul put it, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or ever think. So why don't we believe it? Why don't we believe in this? Our misconceptions and barriers keep us from experiencing his all. Some of us don't go after God because we are afraid of change and where it might lead us to. Some people don't feel worthy enough to be in the presence of God, and the misconception to them is they feel that they need to be holier than thou. And some of us believe that we have to get our act together before we experience the greatness of God. And the truth is, God wants you just the way you are. And he will help you get your act together. You see, if God brought Abraham through a process of faith and change and assured him of how big he is, how much more will he do it for us, guys? Our relationship with God matters. And I want to tell you this morning, each one of you matter here to God. And don't let anybody tell you any different. You matter to God. God knows how many hairs are on the top of your head. God knows what you're thinking. You matter to him. You are built for a relationship with him. You know, one of the very first words a baby will learn to say, regardless of culture, language, nationality, is dada, dad or papa. Whilst we mothers might be inclined to twist the child's arm and get the child to say mama, say mama. But you know what? It's not going to happen. Because every infant child that's born on this planet has a desire to say dada as their very first word and express a need for a father figure. You see, our God has wired each and every one of us that way. He has placed this as part of our DNA. We're no different here today. We are no different to desire a father figure. And the good news is our Savior Jesus made a way for us to grant the access to our Father, who has so much more for us, so much more than we can imagine or think. Just stop and think for a moment of the reality of this, that the one and only true God of this entire universe can become your Father and best friend, that you can come into the presence when you like and talk to him just like you would talk to a best friend. You can share with him your innermost secrets that you would not share with anybody else. That's the beauty of coming into the Lord's presence. You see, God is always seeking for a people who will be obedient. And he has expressed an open invitation. And we heard Moira, you know, talking about that earlier on. That there's an invitation for you to come and come to that banquet table and taste of everything, because we are not a people that will pick up the crumbs. But he has expressed that open invitation. So who are you serving? Who is really in control of your life? One of the roles of Jesus Christ is he is our Redeemer, our Rescuer, and we've sang about it. He paid the ransom for our sins to give us eternal life with the Father. And if you've ever seen that film, Ransom, with Mel Gibson, hands up who's seen it. It's a film, it's a film about a man's son that is kidnapped by this gang of kidnappers. And there's a price to be paid for Mel Gibson to get his child back. And he will go to any length to get his child back. And guys, it's the same with God. God spilt his blood over this entire universe for each and every one of us here in this house and for the world, so that we would have eternal life with him. That was the ransom that Jesus paid for us. So we can come in today and avail of this open invitation. And we can come in and make some kind of attempt to understand what a relationship with God would really be like. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." I want you to get this. God has purposely created all of us with some void inside of each of us. And the only thing that can fill that void and emptiness is the Lord. There is nothing else in the world that can fill that little hole that is in your soul. You know, if a builder needs to patch up a hole that's in a wall, he will fill that up with either cement or polybond or some type of building material. And what happens? The hole disappears. And the void or struggles that are in your heart will only disappear when you allow God the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to come in and become your Lord of all and your Master. And God is asking that we would accept this open invitation to fully trust in him as Lord of all and begin to experience a relationship of intimacy with a great big God who is mad about you. Your RSV response to his invitation will mean a decision of progressive surrender. When we live in continual repentance, God purifies us. He washes our spirits so that there is nothing between us and him. You begin to experience the nearness, the joy, the richness of his presence. And in return, when you wake in the morning, he is there. When you curl up with your Bible and your coffee, he is there. When you move through your day, he is there. When you interact with people, you see them through his eyes. God gives us the eyes of faith and much more of him. You see, he puts a hope in your heart, gladness in your step. Your Lord and Savior is right by your side, guiding you, loving you, nurturing you, changing you from the inside out. Your relationship with God the Father will be a work in progress. Getting to know him, this is what the picture of God really looks like. And here's a little taste of what your future looks like in God. When you come into his presence, you know what your Lord and Savior is like. He comes to pour out his love and power on you. And you leave elevated after you've spent time with him. When you watch your Lord and Savior in action, he watches you in action. When you hear your Lord and Savior speak, he hears you speak. When you become doubtful, he becomes so much more than you can ever imagine. He will give you the eyes of faith to see so much more of him and a faith to listen to his voice. You see, through Abraham's obedience, the Lord blessed him. And as a result, many nations were birthed through him. And our ultimate goal of our existence in the church and in Christ is to allow the Lord of all be our entire master. The picture of God will give us fullness of joy, of his love and power. And I'm just finishing. Our reward will be that this big God of ours can actually be found. And there's a scripture, there's a parable that Jesus told in Luke 15. And the parable is about two sons. The parable is called the prodigal son. And there's two sons and a father. And the young son wanted his share of the father's estate. He wanted the money. So the son takes the money, he goes off, and he just explores wild living. That's what the Bible calls it, partying, doing partying and everything else that goes with that. And the older son remains at home, obedient to the father. But this father would wait patiently for his son to come over the horizon. The father wanted the younger son to come back, and he waited and he waited. And when he saw the son coming, he picked up his robe, his outer garments, and he ran to his son. He ran and embraced him. And this is what he did, guys. He took his robe and he put it around the son. And they began to celebrate of the son's return. And I just believe that God is saying that today, that God wants to clothe people here today. He wants to put a robe of righteousness around you, and he wants to draw you into the fullness of his joy, and he will fill you up.